Pour another cup of coffee with Fleming in the Morning on AM 1300 KGLO.
It is time right now for the Corporate Farmer Program on AM 1300 KGLO, and I'm Tim Fleming. Along with us, we do have Chad Hansen from Corporate Farmer. Hey, Chad.
What do you know today?
I know that I'm right with every farmer that I've talked to in the last couple of weeks. It sure would be nice if we could just get some warm weather in here.
Yeah, I know from talking to plenty of other people that they're itching and ready to go. It just seems like Mother Nature won't cooperate. I will tell you, not to make any of the listeners that much more upset about it, but you know, talking to some people more south of us, they've taken advantage of not having as much moisture and not to say a lot better temperatures, but good soil conditions anyway. And you know, did speak with one client down in mid-Missouri that had about 2,200 acres planted sometime last week when I spoke to him. So, you know, he was about 40% done already, and, you know, by now probably well over half. And I'm sure that's just going to make a few listeners blood boil, but it'll be soon enough. I mean, it's crazy how quick we can get things going and you know, knock out acres once we get started. And I'm sure, you know, whether it probably doesn't look great for the end of the week, but maybe beginning of next week we'll see a lot of activity.
Yeah, it's just been those crazy cold days where, you know, you get temps in the 20s to start the morning, and you know, the overnight lows are, you know, in that freezing category, and that's kind of tough. But hey, like you say, it won't be long, and they will rip through the fields of North Iowa and get things planted. Corn and beans will be going full strength, and off we go.
Yeah, and they're not alone either. I know, talking to some of my contract friends and, oh, you know, any of those people that do landscaping and different kind of activities like that, it's been a little slow going yet to get started. I know some of the small-town concrete plants and everything looking at just starting to open their doors and get going with that part of things. And so it's early, and it'll definitely warm up at some point in time, and maybe the wind will even stop blowing someday.
Oh man, that's been so cold. You and I were talking about that. I was at a softball game and you were talking about being on a golf course watching your son play golf, and I tell you what, it's been brutal out there. Some of these track meets, too, these parents telling me to go out and watch a track meet for several hours. That's tough doing right now.
Yeah, I'm with you. Talking to some of my friends that telling me that their kid runs in the first event and the last one. I'm like, man, I don't know what you did wrong in your life, but you're getting punished for it if that's the case, because that's brutal. But no, the things that parents deal with when it comes to spring sports, you know, I think that they definitely probably deserve some medals for for all the covers and coats and maybe even umbrellas that are necessary in order to bear this crazy weather that we have this time of the year. So.
Oh, so true. It is so, so true. I know even having all three of my kids play college softball or baseball, those spring games. Oh, man. There were some cold days back in the day.
Oh, for sure. You think it's still winter often. And then you go outside one day and, you know, one of my friends and his wife are co-coaches for golf. And, you know, I see them and they've got sunburns from being out there, you know, on a nicer sunny day here a week ago. So, you know, it goes from one extreme to the next, and that's, you know, I guess part of what we enjoy about being in Iowa and seeing those seasons change, but it comes with those, you know, big swings in temperature and overall weather this time of the year for sure.
Yeah, parallel that, if you can, maybe to your own business at Corporate Farmer as a farm accounting firm. You get to see extremes, don't you?
Yeah, and I mean, talking about spring, I think, you know, one thing that I thought might be a good topic today was, you know, employees, because this is typically a time where we're kind of starting the farm season, and, you know, a lot of our farmers anymore need some help, can't do it all by themselves, whether it's, you know, just their labor or maybe some family members that help them out. They're having to hire an employee, and that always opens a bunch of questions as people kind of try and sort through what they have to do and don't do and what they should do and, you know, oftentimes try and kind of hide under the radar and maybe take the easy way out. But, you know, one of the first steps there that everybody kind of wonders about is, you know, do I need to withhold taxes and do all that kind of stuff? And, you know, the IRS has a pretty simple kind of checklist as far as what's your relationship there with that individual, whether it's, you know, as an employee-employer type of relationship or whether it's a independent contractor. And, you know, probably just to kind of boil it down as simple as possible, you know, they're going to look at what's the behavior of the situation. You know, do you have control or determine when that person comes to work and what they do while they're at work? From a financial standpoint, you know, do you control different aspects of the worker's job? Like, you know, do they receive any benefits? Who owns the tools that are being used and maybe the equipment that's being used? And then, you know, you can look at, you know, are there any kind of benefits or anything that are being provided, like, you know, any kind of vacation or insurance? Obviously there, that's going to make it pretty clear that they're an employee if you're going to provide those types of benefits. But, you know, those are the things that we talk a little bit about to our clients is, you know, they say, I'm going to need some help and, you know, I really don't want to mess with any of this withholding and payroll and W-2s and all those types of things. And, you know, we kind of try and walk down through that checklist with them to kind of answer those questions. I think after you've answered, you know, maybe three or four of them, I think it becomes quite clear what that relationship is and what the right and the wrong way is in how to deal with those more often than not employees, obviously. So, you know, outside of that, if we've determined that they're an employee, then we kind of got to move to the next steps. And, you know, people kind of often skip the paperwork side and things like filling out, you know, like a I-9 and a W-4, those types of documents to show proof that they're a citizen and, you know, to get the information as far as kind of the level of withholding and things that need to be done. But those are requirements. And then, you know, outside of that, I think, you know, some things, too, that I'd say when you're cost-conscious more than anything, that oftentimes you overlook is questions about, like, unemployment insurance and especially workman's comp. And, you know, there are unique rules when it comes to farmers and, you know, what level of employment needs to be there in place before those things kick in. But when it comes to the unemployment, basically most states utilize the federal rules where you have to have 10 or more employees or $20,000 worth of wages in a calendar quarter. So it's important to kind of keep track of your quarterly payroll, and once you know, potentially hit that payroll mark, then from that point forward, you need to start dealing with unemployment, paying that in, and getting registered with the state in order to do it. And I bring the unemployment up just because I think it's become a compliance issue here in the last year, as we've seen, obviously, unemployment cases just blow up through this pandemic, and so all these states, their unemployment reserves have been decimated by claims, and so unfortunately that means that they've got to, you know, step up the enforcement and get out there and find employers that maybe have needed to be registered and paying in that haven't. Also, what happens is you have an employee that, you know, maybe isn't working for you, and because of the federal bump in unemployment with that extra $600 a month, they've, you know, had their friends say that this is something you really should check into. It's a really good deal. Don't go get another job. Just take this. And so they've applied, and then, you know, with that comes a kind of a semi-audit where the unemployment office looks into their current or past employer and to see if they're in the system, have they been paying in, should they be paying in. And so a lot of times that's a trigger to figure out that, you know, they probably should have been and haven't been up to this point in time. And so they kind of have you and want you to get registered and start paying in and pay back to the time that you know, you should have initially. So those are things that we try and kind of keep an eye out for our clients. But depending on the situation, whether we do their payroll or they do it themselves, we may not be able to catch it until after the year when we're doing W-2s, or maybe ask them some questions in order to determine if they've kind of met some of those rules.
I would guess most would be private contractors, wouldn't they? Or
well, you know, it depends. Like sometimes when you're hiring somebody just to, you know, plant for you or harvest or spray is probably a pretty common thing. You know, you hire maybe another farmer to do that or another company. So, I mean, obviously, if you're dealing with a company, it's probably a pretty clear, you know, indication that they're not an employee. But, you know, if it's an individual, unless they're bringing their own tractor, if they're, you know, providing their own tools, like I know I've got some kind of spring projects going on and, you know, doing a little fixing on some concrete, well, I mean, that individual that I've hired to do that work, he's not an employee of mine. You know, I hired him for that specific job to do, and I don't tell him when to show up, even though, you know, there's days where I probably feel like I should call him and be like, the weather's nice, why the heck aren't you here? But, you know, he kind of writes his own ticket, and if he's got three or four jobs going on at the same time, he's trying to juggle, and with the weather, you know, he may find a, you know, a cold, rainy day where he decides to work on a concrete job in a shed where he's laying concrete there and not want to be out in the weather and, in, you know, in my backyard. So, you know, those are kind of clear definitions of the difference between an independent contractor and an actual employee would be somebody, you know, that I might say, you know, our hours are from 8 to 5 and you need to be here during that time. You get, you know, half an hour break for lunch, and you know, here's what your rate of pay is per hour, not where it's maybe a bid job, kind of like what you know, the concrete person in my example you know, has given me. So you know, they kind of bear the risk of whether it takes longer than they had kind of anticipated or not. That's kind of that profit margin they build in comparison that, you know, that employee is going to get paid, you know, so much an hour, irregardless of, you know, how long it takes them to do the work or not. So those are, again, some pretty easy definitions of an independent contractor versus an employee. But I guess, you know, the tough ones are when it kind of gets into that real blurry line, you know, of, maybe a guy that just shows up in the spring and does, you know, certain tasks and things for you, then maybe it's easier to kind of argue that they fall more as an independent contractor. But I would say most often than not, if you're asking the questions, you probably know the answer that they're probably truly an employee.
Yeah, it's probably touching on a subject that a lot of people – would not even be aware of that that the farming business has to go through every year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, it just becomes extra book work, and I think that's the big reason why most people, you know, want to try and avoid it if at all possible, is because, you know, we know that our employers, you, Tim, and here, you know, we have to, you know, have them fill out a W-4 and like I said, the I-9, and then we're taking out the taxes and paying those in for Social Security and Medicare and federal income tax and state income tax. Some of our employers, you know, taking out for insurance and retirement plans and all that. And then, you know, those payments have to go to those individual locations. And so it becomes very time-consuming to have an employee. People think, oh, you know, these employers, they just get rich off of these employees. The employee gets paid, you know, little to nothing, and then the employer's making all the big bucks. But, I mean, it's, you know, it doesn't, you don't get paid while you're figuring up, you know, some of these things and doing the bookwork part of it. You know, that's just an additional cost of being in business. And so, you know, again, you know, I think for those that can take a shortcut and avoid having to do it, they see that as an easy way out, and or they don't want to pay somebody else to do it. You know, a firm like us or you know, a similar payroll or accounting firm to do some of those services, you know, they look at that just as a wasted cost. I'd rather pay the employee more and not have to take out taxes than have to deal with some of those things. And so that's often what you see. And then, you know, and you got other things like overtime, right? I mean, there's overtime and minimum wage rules that do apply to farmers. Now, it is kind of a little more lax, or there's requirements before they fall under those rules. But, you know, if an hourly employee works more than 40 hours in a week, they're supposed to get, you know, a time and a half, you know, basically 1.5 times their regular rate by federal law. Well, you know, for smart farmers, it's basically what they consider employed on a small farm, and you can't see me, but I'm saying in parentheses, and what that means is basically a farm that used less than 500 man days of labor in any calendar quarter of the preceding calendar year. So that means last year, did you have more than, you know, in this case, it for the year would amount to 2,000 hours of labor. Well, you know, most people look at it from an annual standpoint like that, but technically probably most of these farms have a great deal of their labor in the spring and the fall, right, either during planting or during harvest. So if you're looking at 500 man days of labor in the spring or in the fall, you know, that can add up pretty quickly if you have, you know, several employees. And so, you know, for a average farm in Iowa, they're probably not going to hit that standard. But, you know, they keep growing. And most of these farms are a lot bigger than when I started 20-some years ago. And so some of these standards that we used to think are unattainable or not something we ever have to worry about. We don't have, you don't have to pay unemployment. You know, it'd be kind of what we would have said 20 years ago, or you don't have to do these, you know, overtime and all that kind of stuff, just because, you know, most of our farms that we dealt with were, you know, maybe 1,000 acres total. And so you're never going to have 500 man days of labor in a calendar quarter. You know, that's unheard of. Or 10 or more employees, you're never going to have that many employees on your farm operation. But as the size of these farms grow and it requires more and more labor, these numbers that we thought were never going to be surpassed often do get surpassed, and then that kicks you into having to either pay overtime or deal with the unemployment and some of these other things that I've been discussing today.
Good information. And if somebody's got questions about this topic or others, or how to get involved with Corporate Farmer to be a partner moving forward, Chad, how do they get that done at Corporate Farmer?
Yeah, best thing to do, just give us a call, 800-472-6931, or you can always check us out online at corporatefarmer.com.